fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you a marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way.
All right, Johnny, I see the Lord of the Banner sweating it now because we got Johnny Reb himself. You know, you didn't know you had a song for you, written in, even in advance of your appearance on this scene. That's the Johnny Reb. What a great song.
But it wasn't written in D minor.
Johnny is a part of this community, and he has been with us each of the three times we've been on the air here doing these live remotes here in South Carolina, and I've been looking forward to this one. We saved him for the third hour, but this is a guy, he's all about lead, leather, and steel. Am I right, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
You're gonna have to get that right on up to your lips there. But all right, so tell us what you contribute to this community. You've got something big going on, and it's been building, and it's bigger now than it was in my last time here, and certainly from the first time here.
Well, I try and bring back old world's craftsmanship, handmade. Just leather products, and people obviously like it.
So this is something that, if you're not part of the pro-South community, if you're in the South, you're at least going to be part of the pro-gun community. Normally they overlap, but between the two, you pretty much cover everybody, and so you offer repairs and even original crafting of holsters, belts, wallets, gunsmithing, refurbishing of antiques, and there's a big market for that in the rural South.
Yes, a lot of people come in with old, just defunct things that granddaddy had years ago, and if I can't fix it, I duplicate it. Correct.
And I saw that around Christmas time, a family came in and had a couple of belts made for their boys. And that was just, again, artisan-level, handcrafted leather work for these belts that had the boys' names on it. And you can get things like that if you're not getting a holster, if you're not getting something for your firearm. You can get something like that. Anything to do with leather, gunsmithing, et cetera, you're a craftsman for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like a challenge. People bring in old stuff from World War II era, mostly German flavor, and I can duplicate their holsters. Everything except for the really nice tool work done on the tabs.
Talk about how this industry and the demand for the service that you provide has grown over the course of the last year and a half, which is really the timeline that we had that we're working with here for this particular area in this community that we're talking about.
It's really growing by word of mouth. I have a bunch of old retired people that come in and just hang out. Next thing you know, they got three or four buddies coming up with old defunct things from years past, and I either fix or duplicate.
And when you come into your store, there's just going to be no mistaking your ideology, because I've been in there a couple of times and always have a good time in there, and it smells like leather. If you like the smell of leather, you like the smell of cigars, you're gonna be at home at Johnny's shop. And so you walk in there and you're immersed in that atmosphere, but if you look around at his decorations, let's just call it, you're gonna know that Johnny's a good guy, but he may offend the delicate sensibilities of liberals, but what is the reaction that most people see when they walk in and they see your Confederate paraphernalia and your White Lives Matter banner and all of these other things that you've got there at the shop?
Most people really feel at home. They get to exhale when they enter the leather shop or Dixie and period. When they come in here, they feel at home if they are pro-white and they love their own people and they're not cucks.
So do they say that to you? Do they say, hey, man, this is great? I mean, I'm sure you've had the very random and sporadic person that huffed up and puffed up and walked out. But for the most people, I'm sure that it would elicit a response. It would be like, you know, they would have to say something. Like, you don't just see that. If I walked into a shop and I saw what I saw in your store today with the Confederate flags and the bumper stickers and things like that, I would say, man, this is great. And I'm sure that they share that with you.
Oh, I hear it all through the week, and it warms my heart to know there's still serious people out here in our world. My feels are warmed on a regular basis.
Now, I did notice, in addition to the children's belts today, a couple of novelty items. You can we share that, Johnny? You had a leather thong that you said was purchased by a real good-looking girl.
It was an ex-girlfriend from years ago. Little bitty thing. Good God, she was a baby doll. But I made her a buckskin thong out of a deer hide, and it was only worn twice, but it's still on display.
Wait, is that the one that was for sale?
It's not for sale.
Oh, it's just on display.
Yes, just on display of what, you know, my craftsmanship, the things I can do.
All right, so if anybody else is in the market for that particular product, you're their guy.
Of course.
Now, you had a Cossack whip as well. I said, is that also for the bedroom? You said, no, you don't want to be using that for recreational pleasure.
No, Cossack whip, bad. No bueno.
Now, the European band Pussy Riot came on the receiving
That's
end of
the
that.
Proper use of a Cossack whip.
So when they were desecrating the Lord's sanctuary in Eastern Europe, they showed up, and we've seen the video, right? So we've seen what that can do.
It was a beautiful video, and I ordered a Cossack whip the week after seeing that video.
Is that why that one's there?
It's a very effective tool against degenerates.
In case you ever have to run one out of your shop.
Yeah, right? Of course. It's strictly self-defense.
All right. So, again, in your own words, Johnny, the service you provide for the general public and how they can receive such service. All kidding aside, we've had a good time, and we have been serious, but we have a laugh as well.
Yeah, we got custom holsters, name your flavor, belts, wallets, gunsmithing, and refurbishing of antiques. Text me.
All right, so, I mean, you know, somebody listening on the radio tonight and the West Coast, or should we save that information for later? Do we want to run an ad? How could people contact you if they're looking into receiving leather work?
Well, immediately I can be reached at 864-207-6506. There will be a commercial forthcoming.
All right, give that number one more time. If people need any sort of work on their holsters, their belts, if they need it refurbished, if they need it made, wallets, gunsmithing, antiques you can send them down here. It'll get and Johnny is a world-class craftsman. That number one more time.
864-207-6506.
Now, if a member of Antifa should happen to call you,
I will make them a thong.
Always a gentleman. Johnny Rev, everybody.
Thank you, James.
One of my favorite people in this community and always a welcome guest on this program. We've got some more surprises for you. We're not done yet. The third hour is underway. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids, long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
If you don't know, that song is from the 1946 picture Song of the South. I'm actually holding in my hand right now a copy of Song of the South. This, like my book, is one of the victims of cancel culture, and you can't find it anymore unless you know where to look. And I know where to be to find something like this. That's in South Carolina. And I actually acquired a copy of it today that I will take home and watch with my kids this coming up week. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a beautiful movie, beautiful music. There was a ride at Disney World for so many years called Splash Mountain, and there that's another victim of cancel culture. But it's anyway, we're having a great time in South Carolina, and that's just all part of it. Now, we've got another John here with us now, and he is part of another important aspect of what we're doing here. As we so often say, we fight for our past, our present, and our future, but all, I think, in equal parts. And with regards to historical preservation, we've got your guy. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, thank you, first of all, James, for having me on the show. I really do certainly appreciate it. I'll go by John for now, but I am first and foremost a historian. But even more specifically than that, I'm a historical preservationist because I believe firmly that it is imperative that each and every one of us, not only in the South, but all across where our people live, that we are aware of our history, we are awakened to who we are, and that we walk every day with the memory of our forefathers coursing through our blood. So what I do...
Very well said. Very well said.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So what I seek to do every day in my life is to learn more about what our ancestors did, not just in the Confederacy, but beyond as well. But sort of the crux of it is the Confederacy and the struggle that was what we know now as the Civil War. And there's so much out there that people are just totally unaware of. And it is my mission every day to make sure that people are aware that everywhere you go, you are walking in history. You are walking where your forefathers stepped, and it is imperative that you treat this life that we have been gifted with the respect that it deserves. And that means that we have to stand for our ancestors.
You know, what you just said and how you said it triggered me to remind, to ask people, how much hate have you heard on the broadcast tonight? How much do you believe that what we do and the sacrifices that we make are spawned from a position of hatred versus a position of love and respect for our people and our ancestors and our children? That's a question that needs to be asked, and you should be reminded tonight that intelligent, brave, and sturdy people and attractive families still do exist, and they're building communities that are decent and strong, and you are listening to just such people on tonight's live broadcast. We are beginning now to wrap up our special presentation from South Carolina. But yes, indeed, what you are doing and the work that you're doing and the sacrifices that you're making on the behalf of our ancestors with regards to the preservation of their final resting places and so on and so forth is, of course, something that we are committed to as well. So a final word to you on that.
Yes, sir. Everywhere there are things that remind us of who we are and where we come from. And if we let those things fall into disrepair, then we as a people will fall into disrepair. And I personally, I'll reveal my age. I'm 20 years old. My generation walks in tremendous darkness. No other generation before me has walked in such a veil of absolute vitriol and evil. And it's because our foundation has been ripped from under us. We have been told that we are nothing, that we are parasites. But in reality, God has chosen us to be here this day to walk in righteousness, power, and strength, and to remember our ancestors and to put their memory forth so that our future generations may live, so that Europe shall live.
Hey, how about it? I believe we're ready to charge tonight after that. I mean, this is just
speechless.
Right, speechless. Am I right? I mean, this is 20 years old. You know, when I was 20, I thought I was a full-grown man. And I look back, when you mentioned that you were 20, as a 41-year-old, I was like, my God, that's so young to be involved in this. But, you know, when I was 20, that's when it all changed for me. I was running around the country with Pat Buchanan in 2000, the year 2000. I was 20 years old, and then my own campaign, and then 4 years later, the radio program, and it was just God's perfect timing and the doors that presented themselves as a result of applying oneself. But what you're doing will make a difference. What you're doing is making a difference.
And thank you, James.
Continue to make a difference in ways that you don't even know yet. And I'm honored to stand here beside you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. Thank you.
My honor.
Thank you.
And the honor of our audience.
Thank you.
So with about 4 minutes left in this segment, who's next? They're fighting over the privilege, ladies and gentlemen. It's just. I'd say.
He works in agriculture.
Okay, so, well, we won't go. We won't necessarily go into the extent to which we know each other and our familial bonds, but introduce ourselves in the way that you feel comfortable with who you are and what you're doing.
Well, my name is Thomas. I've been a part of this community for a little while now, and it's been really good to. Been able to get to know all these fine people, and
he's good now, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny, our production assistant, Johnny. Yeah.
You gave me a couple of tough couple acts to follow on that. So,
well, everybody here is splendid, and I know you will be as well. And I appreciate the role that you're playing in this.
Thomas,
you know what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to let we got 2 minutes left to say. We're going to turn it over to Hunter and to Thomas.
Oh boy,
yeah, Thomas, get into. Your heritage and kind of what you do for a living. I think that that's a rich part of our experience here in the South. What do you do all year?
Mostly agriculture for a large part of the year, and that's where my roots are. Roots are in South Carolina, and that's where my ancestors are from, and
Been here a long time, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What kind of stuff do you plant?
We mostly produce like squash and green beans and bell peppers and zucchini, stuff like that.
Right. And, you know, the South was an agrarian society, and you're the remnants of that. I mean, how many people have a farm? How many people have a garden?
Small farms have really been come under attack by large corporations. It's becoming harder and harder. And one thing that the current administration is doing is, for instance, inheritance taxes. So when someone passes away and tries to pass down their inheritance and their farms and stuff like that, there's such a large inheritance tax that's so hard to just continue on the small farming business. So it just gets sold to larger corporations.
Are y'all seeking to get around that or continue your inheritance uninhibited by that in any way? Or have you even thought about that yet?
Nothing really.
You're
going to
keep on keeping
on
pretty much.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good, man.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, how long has your family been in South Carolina?
In South Carolina, I don't have an exact year. I know that we traced, obviously, my ancestors fought in the 13th South Carolina. And I know that, you know, I don't know exactly. No books were written about my ancestors that fought in the 13th. But I know the battles he was in, that he rose to be a company commander. And so I can... I've been to Fredericksburg where he was wounded. That was a special experience. So I try to live up to what I believe my ancestors wanted me to be as a person.
And you know what? You're living that now. You're a regular agrarian. So,
James, you better be careful. Hunter's going to be coming for your show right here.
I know it.
Thank you for sharing that, Thomas. You are the man. Why don't you jump on here, big boy?
We're going to get him on. The one thing Hunter doesn't have that I have is a headset, so he didn't hear the music start, so we got to go to a break. But, my goodness, I could just show up and plug in the equipment to connect with the network and just go eat pizza or go to the open bar or anything else that we're doing here tonight. And the show is going to be in well good hands. Hunter and Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, come on now. It ain't too late to come on. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. East Coast is battling blizzard conditions, with many places now reporting whiteout conditions. Officials are telling people to not travel if they don't have to. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
High winds, heavy snow, blizzard conditions, all the elements of a classic nor'easter, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
In New Rochelle, New York, a snowplow driver is reinforcing just how dangerous it is on the roads.
I expected worse. Just keep scraping until it stops and we can salt it up.
Over 10 million people in the Northeast are under blizzard warnings. The National Weather Service is warning that the nor'easter could bring near-record snowfall and blizzard conditions to most of New England. Power outages are widespread, and thousands of flights have been canceled due to the storm. This is USA Radio News.
Well, you've heard me talk about Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and how his pillow's given me a great night's sleep. He continues to roll out new offers on his products. His latest on the towel sets. Now, towels aren't something you think about. I never knew what I was missing until I tried the towels last year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today, and trust in Mike Lindell has given you a better night's sleep. Mike's now changing the game with a six-piece towel set, USA cotton, extremely absorbent, yet still providing that soft feel you look for in the towel. Two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths for a limited time, $39.95. Using our promo code USA, it retails for over $100. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use this promo code USA to get this price of $39.99 on the towels, or call 1-800-951-8175.
A new strain of the Omicron variant has been detected.
Just as the Omicron variant starts to die down in parts of the United States, scientists have their eye on another coronavirus variant spreading rapidly in parts of Asia and Europe. It's officially called Omicron BA.2. And this week, cases were detected in California, Texas, and Washington. As far as how these new variants are detected, Dr. Diane Hess tells USA Radio News.
So we don't know much about the new variant. So really, variants are not tested frequently. Probably less than 20% of all COVID tests have variant testing done. Those are tests that are done in the state health department level usually. Even physicians who are treating patients, like critical care patients in the hospital, they don't know what variant their patients have. Usually, if you find out the variant, it'll probably be weeks later because it's just not a test that's done commonly and it's not done in the hospital often.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, as we continue to introduce you to and better acquaint you with the company that we're with tonight, we will continue it now with, and he's just done such a good job tonight, Hunter, with... throughout the program with his appearance in the second hour and then with Thomas in the last segment, we've got another guest we want to talk to, and we're going to let Hunter do that. But first, I want to say the last time that I was here with a couple of very good friends of mine, personal friends of mine, Jack Ryan, who has, of course, been a longtime contributor to TPC. He made the trek down to South Carolina from Chicago to be with us back in July. And then for the first time, I had the opportunity to meet a friend of mine for many, many, many years through correspondence, Rick from South Brooklyn. Now, you remember Rick? I'm going to turn it back over to Hunter to say a couple of things about Rick, because I was actually going back through before I came in tonight. I was texting Rick, and I was looking through the pictures that we took together here in July of last year, and it just brought back a lot of great memories. So he's been on my mind. Jack's been on my mind today. We were together the last time I was here. A couple of things about Rick that you remember, Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know if Rick's listening, but did I ever think that a small-town Southern boy like myself could sit and have dinner with a Brooklyn boy like Rick and agree on so much? But we did. Rick was a interesting guy. I really liked meeting Rick, and we shared a lot of good we had dinner for 2 hours. I think we kind of shut down the restaurant, and his experience and my experience are totally different, but those roads met at the same destination, and even across time. He's twice my age, and
through it transcends time and space. Yeah. does it not? And he's actually texting me right now, so I'll read what he's saying, and we know he's listening. Well, you can see right there he's giving you the emojis. It's a hard fist and thumbs up and hand claps, and we love Rick, and he's a good friend, and man, what a guy. I really enjoyed the time. I was texting him earlier today. It was I'm staying at the same hotel that we were both at when we were here in July. So it was band of brothers. It's difficult. There's something about a brotherly fellowship that is enduring. And so wish he was here tonight. It was a quick in and out this time, a little private gathering. But maybe this summer we can all get back together. But tell us who we've got now, Hunter.
We got one of my best buds in here. Let's settle this now. If we were characters
looking
in Top Gun.
Settled.
If we were characters in Top Gun, who's Goose and who's Maverick? I'm Maverick and you're Goose, buddy.
Well, I'll take it.
Yeah, have you ever Top Gun?
Yeah, it's been a long time, though. So I don't watch too many movies, but it's been a while, yeah. But
I know y'all weren't born when Top Gun came out, man.
Where did we meet at, Matt?
Wait, I met him at a gun show, and he was dressed like an 18-year-old dude that just got sent off to war. He looked like he was starving. Turns out he's looked like that his whole life. But he's gained some weight since I saw him. But
was back when I was boxing, so I was trying to.
He was cutting
weight. Yeah.
But, yeah, we met at a gun show and hit it off. Had my then-girlfriend, she's now my wife, with me. And... She was rolling her eyes the whole time. She's like, oh, God, he met another freaking like-minded fellow that they're going to sit here and talk for 2 hours and she's going to be bored to death. And that's exactly what happened. And 10 years later, we're still doing that. We're boring our wives to death.
Yep. We've had some adventures along the way, have we not, Matt? I mean, we've
very
been
much
all
so.
Over the
we've had some
upstate in some of these monument battles together, and and we've had a good time.
We've taken our interests all the way over into Arkansas, but we've had good road trips. We've had a lot of good times together.
Matt's my ancestry guy. Any one of my buddies that I want to, like, if they're not too keen on representing the South, or like, well, I don't, I'm like, hey, look, you had a Confederate ancestor.
Well,
and I look up all their ancestors through Matt's account on ancestry.com.
Yeah. It's easier to get someone interested when you can connect them to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, you had someone, you know, that probably fought, you know, I know the last name, it's a local last name. I know you've got somebody. And they're like, oh, you know, that might be cool. And then when you find somebody, or you can tie a picture to it, and you're like, oh, you look like your third great grandfather that fought, you know, and then they get more tied into it. And it's more heartfelt.
We had a
you
buddy,
can feel the connection.
We had a buddy last name Sanchez. Now he's white, but, and he's from Florida. A Spaniard.
Yeah.
So
you can imagine where he thought his family came from.
Right, with the last name Sanchez. Now he's got blue eyes. But when Matt did his ancestry, tell him what his ancestor's name was.
His ancestor's name was George Washington Sanchez.
Now what year was that?
That was
pre-Civil War, wasn't it?
That was pre-Revolutionary War. That was like 1760 something, I believe. In St. Augustine, Florida, and they were just a bunch of Florida cowboys or Florida crackers, whatever you want to call them. But that
goes back to what I was talking about these people in the South that were so connected to the Revolutionary War forefathers that they named each other after them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a bunch of Florida. There was a bunch of my wife. She has a Confederate ancestors down in Florida. They were just a bunch of good old people. But yeah, a lot of them did hold the Spaniard's last name. But and you know they think they're one thing, but nope, you're white.
You know, I'm talking to a guy who's a master fabricator, a master welder. He can make art out of anything metal. Matt, how'd you get into welding when you were younger? Tell them what you started out making when you started that factory job welding.
Oh, yeah, there was all this buzz when I was young about, like, oh, you're like, I wanted to be a welder before I thought welders made good money, but there was all this buzz about welders making good money, and I was like, oh, you know, that's also a pro. I just enjoyed it. But my first job my first welding job, in 2012, I made $12.50 an hour. You want to talk? I was high rolling.
Yeah, and you're talking about someone who can make a clean weld that you don't have to grind afterwards. He's a master fabricator. Matt, tell us about your experience here, where we're at now, and what brought you here, and where do you see that we're going from here?
I only see positivity going from here.
Speaking to what James had mentioned earlier, what do you see, love or hate?
Love. There ain't nothing but love here. We love everybody that comes to that door with like-minded ideas, you know. I mean, we've never been mean to anyone at this place. I mean, we've never had any aggression towards us. We don't show any aggression. But we're just a bunch of guys and gals that love our heritage, love our history, love ourselves, and love our people. And, I mean, you can't ask for anything more than a community that'll come together and, you know, support one another. And you can tie everything back to our forefathers. And, I mean, we've sat at this table and had Bible study together. And, you know, invited the community to have Bible study here. We'll have Bible study. We'll come to your house, have Bible study. I mean, it's just a great thing. And, you know, the Bible says a perfect love has no fear, and we have no fear here. And we're happy here. We love it here. We're going to stay here. You ain't running us out no time soon.
That's great. What you know, everybody had announcements tonight. Kirk had an announcement. I think James had an announcement. What you got? What you got in the oven for March?
And for March, I'm gonna have a little girl. My first kid. Yep. So yep, we're pretty excited. And
he hadn't told me that name yet. Yeah. Now you've been asked by the Godfather himself.
I'll say the middle name. Her middle name will be Jane.
Hey,
Jane.
Tell us your name, Hunter.
My name or my daughter's name? My daughter's name is Temple, named after my Confederate ancestor, Ferris Templeton.
But her middle name?
Her middle name is Belle, so that would be
Old Southern Belle.
Belle Boyd. So her full name would be...
And remind the people who Belle Boyd is.
Yeah, the Confederate spy. Yes.
Uh-oh.
So...
Temple Bell.
Temple Bell. Yeah, that's her name.
Beautiful name.
Yep. So we're both fathers.
I'm father to be. Yep. And we're like you said, we're best buds. So it's awesome that he's had a child. I'm having a child just a couple months later. Our kids are going to get to grow up together and support this lifestyle. Hopefully that they will also love and we'll encourage it.
Ladies and gentlemen, these people still do exist. Our people still do exist, and they are alive, and they are thriving against all odds. And just imagine what will happen when we become unencumbered. That day will come again. That day is coming. Stay tuned, everybody. One more segment here from South Carolina. Stay tuned.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Zippity-dee-da, zippity-yay, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-dee-da, zippity-yay. wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Yes,
it has been a wonderful day. It has been a wonderful day and a wonderful night and a wonderful weekend in South Carolina. Now, I told the Lord of the Manor that we'd be coming back with our final segment with Zippity Doodah. We're gonna end. And he said, "Well, we can't do that because I want to quote Leonidas." And I said, "Well, you know." But it's here, and I'm holding it, and it is the Song of the South, after all. So we'll find a way to blend the two together. But we're going to end the show the way we started it, and the very first segment of tonight's broadcast. What a wonderful broadcast. Our third time here in South Carolina with this particular gathering, this particular crowd. And we started it with the Lord of the Manor and the Lord of the Harvest. I guess that wasn't too long ago in the fall. And we're going to end it that way as well. And we were talking about just a moment ago that how we would wrap this show up. And you said, well, each segment brought to me a different idea. What would you say about the presentation that's been shared tonight, the different messengers that we've had, and what the audience at large has learned and heard tonight?
Hopefully, I think what's been presented is a wholesome gathering of like-minded people. You have a cross-section of the country. Right now you have, in this country, a natural balkanization. You have people moving from California, New York, all over the country, down to strongholds of conservatism. They're leaving the urban cesspools. And that's something that we are welcoming. And I always tell those intrepid visitors, leave your baggage at the border. Bring your luggage, but leave your baggage. I've had so many veterans, and all of us, one way or the other, have served the empire over the years. Now it's time to serve our people.
Well, you're doing it, and you're setting an example of how it can be done, and you're doing it in a very organic way, in a way that again, as we said at the very top of the show, can be emulated by people who have the vision and have the desire, the stick-to-itiveness to endure a little hardship for a greater cause and a greater good.
I would say start with yourself. Make yourself a better person. If you need to lose weight, lose it. If you need to gain weight, gain it. If you need to save your money, save it. But building yourself as an individual will contribute more to the community. If we get so global in our attitudes, we're going to lose everything. You have to be more individually focused, then you can focus on the community. And that's what we're doing here. If it comes to a point, and this is hypothetical, of course, the government is running wild. We don't need the government. We have each other. What's important to me is not 5,000 miles, 500 miles. It's 5 miles. That's what's important. If I can make a call and get 100 men here in an hour or 1,000 men tomorrow, that is power. And we all need to strive for our own power.
That's the thing about it. I have said this when asked, what makes you successful? And if you look at it from the time we went on the air until now, from 2004 to 2022, have things gotten better or worse? Well, I mean, it's a mixed bag. You could probably make an argument in some ways and in different ways that it's gotten worse or it's gotten better in this regard or worse here and there and elsewhere. But to save the world is too much a task for any one man, but to shepherd our flock, to serve as a good shepherd of your audience and of those with whom you have a sphere of influence over, that we can do. And in that regard, we can inspire and instill hope and encouragement amongst those who care to listen and who care to hear what we have to say. And so that has been what I've tried to do on the radio. Has it been all for naught? You look back and your life's work. If I have encouraged the people who tune into this broadcast, then it's all been worth it. And whether or not we can steer the rudder of Dixie right now or not, with what you're doing, you are making a positive impact and a very tangible and very noticeable positive impact amongst the people who have endeared themselves to this community that you're building, my friend, and to save a life, to better the lives of a few families. Not many men can say they've done that. Everybody's, you don't have to take over the world, but have a positive influence over your community is a very real thing and a very big thing.
We are a pride of 14 lions that refuse to dull our teeth to fit into society. We will protect the lambs. We are the Jolly Boys.
Mance Jolly and the Jolly Boys. Well, you know what? You want to hear something? I just got a text message from my own father, my own dad, who never misses a show. And I'm very proud of that. And he said, great, great show, son. Couldn't have been better. So proud of you and your message. From your dad who loves you with all his heart. Now, I'm a 41-year-old man who is a father of three myself. And to hear that from my dad still means a lot. And that is strong families make strong nations. And it's an intergenerational thing. And so to have to be the son of a proud father means a lot to me, and I want my children to be equally as proud, and that's the kind of multi-generational legacy that we want to instill amongst our people.
If my father was alive, he would say, we are Sparta!
We wanted to say something about Leonidas, did we not? I got one more thing. Now, we typically do that. We have 4 minutes remaining in the show tonight. I typically do this at the conferences that I host, and that's normally with the piano player, our maestro from Florida, but we're going to do it now. If I could ask everyone to gather around, I want to sing our national anthem, and I want to sing Dixie so loud that they hear us in Charleston. So I'm going to put these mics now. I've made this mistake before to sing into the mic. You don't want to do that because it drowns out the audience. If we could all get as close as we can, I'm just going to hold these mics sort of in the middle. And hopefully it'll pick up everybody. Now, we're not going to sing all the verses. We're not going to sing the verses that everybody doesn't know. But we're going to sing the first verse.
Right.
And I think we all know that. Do we all know the first verse of the National Anthem?
Yeah.
Wheels keep on turning.
Okay, so gather around as close as you can to these mics. And when I count down from three, we're going to sing Dixie as loud as we can. We want them to hear them down in the Holy City. Do we not, Hunter?
Yes, sir.
All right, so 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland where I was born, early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
Yeah! Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are instructed by our Lord to make a joyful noise and
enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise, and that's what we're going to do here.
Well, I tell you what, we do enjoy a good song, do we not? We enjoy a good rebel yell, and we enjoy a good fellowship.
I'm glad
and
you topped it off with that.
Well, the Spirit moved me today. I thought earlier tonight that we would do that. I didn't want to put people on the spot until the very last moment, but I had an idea coming in here that we were going to do that. That was something I wanted to do. And I, you know, my only regret is we hadn't done it before in the three appearances that we've made here. But we'll be back here. God wills it, and Jesus tarries, and the Lord of the Manor will have us. And we'll be back this summer, I think, and we'll do another one. And we'll have a good time. But for everybody who has joined us tonight on the program, it's been my honor to be back here in South Carolina with these wonderful people to share with the wider listening audience across the country and around the world that there are people who are resistant to the regime. Oh, listen to that. You don't have the headset on. Mr. Producer is going to take us into the wall tonight. Let's pipe it up. I'm James Edwards. On behalf of our team here in South Carolina, our production team in Utah and in Florida.
It's taking South Carolina String Band.
There it is. Let's take it. Let's give it all to them. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week as we head into February. Pipe it up.